Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in to the Sunday show with Gwen Berry, Jack Jodell, and F. Wayne Johnson. Today we have guests who Jack Jodell is going to introduce. This is going to be a fine hour. Keep listening and listen up. Jack?
Thanks, Gwen. Hopefully everybody's having a great Sunday afternoon, early evening. And today we're going to take a little different tack on the show. We're not going to be talking critically of politics and economics as much as we have been in the past. We're going to take a different tack, and we're going to be very positive, very reassuring, very respectful, because our two guests are an amazing pair of documentary filmmakers that I first learned about on Free Speech TV last fall and early winter. And they have co-founded a most amazing organization called the Respectful Revolution. And they have a website, and they're busy making television programs for viewing this fall. I had a chance to see some of them. You can see some of them online at their website and on their Facebook page, but I will let them talk about that a little bit. I want to introduce to you, first of all, I'll introduce Gerard Ungerman, who is the documentary filmmaker who started this whole thing, and his very helpful assistant, Stacy Ware. And they're both wonderful people. They're the most amazingly friendly people you could ever want to meet. I've never met them personally. I hope to someday. But I've had a great time talking with them, and I love the work that they've been doing, and I think you will too. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Gerard Ungerman. And Gerard, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you've been doing, and what you're up to now.
Sure. Well, first of all, Jack, thank you so very, very much for having us on the air. It's very, very kind of you. And thank you, Wayne too. First of all, I would like to say that we work very closely with Stacy. You know, it's really our project. We started it together. And I think it's fair to say that Stacy is not just some assistant, but really she's sort of the co-director and co-producer of the whole thing. You know, we have a very tight team. And so, yes, as you said, you know, briefly, I have a background in documentary filmmaking. That's what I started doing in 1995. And having also, prior to this military background, I had an interest in military matters, you know, I must say. Especially, I had interest in intelligence. And when I was young, you know, in my 20s, I was sort of seeing this as an adventure. And I was in the military at the time of the first Gulf War, and in the French military, and that was prior to coming to the U.S. And even though I saw the military as sort of an adventure and intelligence as being something very, very interesting, I also was, even at the time, sort of shocked and dismayed at the amount of BS that we would hear in the mainstream media about the West, you know, the U.S. and its allies going to Kuwait to restore freedom and democracy. And that's something that never sat right with me, and I always wanted to do something about it, kind of look at the real history, at the underbelly of this crisis, to sort of expose what was going on for the general public. And at the time, it was a completely, you know, out of the blue idea. I had no concept of how I could go about that. And I started doing documentary films when I was in New York in 1995. And sort of naturally I drifted to covering topics that had to do with international power politics and wars, and I sort of naturally drifted towards a style that would look at, in a very matter-of-fact way, how simple people and how military personnel were caught in a sense between a rock and a hard place, between interests that fly miles over their head. Sometimes, of course, an element of greed, and not to say the least, and then, of course, you know, all kind of viciousness and violence. And that's, so that was the first thing I ever did. You know, I did documentaries, I did several films about the war in Iraq, in Colombia, in Afghanistan, and I did that for a number of years, had some success, in particular with a film called Hidden Wars of Desert Storm that was released in 2000. A bit by chance, I happened to have the only feature-length film on the war in Iraq when the second crisis of Iraq developed in 2000, and this film did very, very, very well. I sold it all over the world, and but things have changed. You know, many things have changed. The market has changed. You do not sell anymore DVDs. I used to make a living selling VHS and then DVDs, and that time is over. TV stations don't buy so much anymore. And both Stacey and I also felt after a while that at this point, so much has been said and written and put together, filmed and all, about the reality of the war business, that if you don't know anything about it today, it's probably because you don't want to know anything. And so adding more to what has already been done is sort of not so useful, maybe. And us, we prefer to focus on solutions as opposed to always, you know, horror stories. So that's what kind of led us, you know, to where we are today, working differently, doing short format for shorter attention span, perhaps, focusing on people doing good things as opposed to horror stories, putting out things for free online, because, again, you know, that's probably the easiest way now to reach a larger audience, and finding other ways to hopefully being able to sustain yourself and continue into the future.
That's beautiful, Gerard, and I wish you every success. It's so refreshing to hear about people wanting to portray and do good films as opposed to horror stories and spectacles and blowing up trucks and all the crazy things we see in much of the media today. All the downers we see, you guys are nothing but uppers, and I wish you every success in that regard. You're so original in that regard.
Jack?
Compared with everybody else.
Jack?
Yes.
I wanted to ask Gerard. Gerard, do you have your computer open with a window open to the show?
I'm not on the show, but I could actually.
No,
we're getting
kidding.
A little bit of an echo.
Echo back. And are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
You have something. I know there's
I know.
Delay.
I know. It's because I'm sitting next to him. That's why.
Oh, that
on a different phone.
Oh, okay, honey. Yeah,
so you're
that
hearing
could be.
Him. You're hearing him through his phone and my phone. You're getting
a
double
dose of
Gerard
Ehrman. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, togetherness is wonderful, but in this case, maybe you could move a few feet away.
If I could stand to rip myself away. That should
Stacey,
be better.
Stacey, tell us about how you guys, when you first met, and how you decided to begin this respectful revolution that you've begun.
I have to call Wayne back in, so you'll hear the dial tone, but just...
That's fine.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But go
ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, the time
Gwen,
we met...
Still here,
Walt.
Okay.
Still here, Gwen.
Sorry?
Okay.
Wayne's still there, Gwen.
Okay, I don't...
Wayne's here.
Wayne's here.
Hi, Wayne.
Hello.
I don't know what's going on, but... Stacey, you were saying?
I was saying that from the time we met, which was when I was working at the local community radio station here in Chico, California.
Uh-huh.
So I'm always so excited to be on the radio. Thank you very much.
Yes.
from the time we met to the time we hatched the project, there's quite a number of years in between. I would say close to 6 years in between. But when we finally decided to start the project, it was sort of the result of having a year when we were forced to be apart through choices that were not our own.
Okay.
It was a year that also saw my youngest daughter struggle with a kind of pretty serious autoimmune disorder.
Mm.
And my job ended at the radio station, all within just a month. This was all happening within a month of one another. So we spent about the next 15 months, doing everything we could to be together, which we were ultimately successful at,
mm-hmm.
And also getting my daughter on track with her illness, and now she's doing great.
Great.
Everything that was sort of upside down righted itself. And when we were at the end of that very tumultuous time, this is how I see it. I feel like we just had such an appreciation for life and love, and how when you're looking for the bad, you're going to find the bad, and when you're looking for the good, you're going to find the good. And we just didn't want to spend any more of our precious time on the planet spending it all on the negative and
mm-hmm.
sort of focusing on problems. We wanted instead to flip that all on its head and focus on the solutions and to put our energy toward creating the kind of world that we want and that we believe is possible. So that was kind of the mindset that we brought to this idea, which hatched out of a conversation that Gerard and I had, where we were talking about, you know, Gerard is French, and so when you're having dinner with a Frenchman, you're not talking about the weather. you're talking about politics and love and religion and all the things that are verboten at many dinner tables.
All the great philosophical topics.
Very philosophical. And so we were having a conversation about, I believe at the time, in particular, banking practices. So this was, 4 years ago or 4.5 years ago. It was really, really a huge topic of conversation. And then we started looking at all the ills and challenges that are facing modern Western society today, and we saw how this notion of disrespect really exists at the core of all of these issues, whether you're talking about children bullying one another or you're talking about horrible predatory banking practices or you're talking about certain food companies that think putting hot dogs inside the crust of a pizza is a good idea. I mean, it's just, people are being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And how disrespect really is at the core of so many of these challenges. And then we kind of turned that on its head and said, what would happen if you could wave a magic wand and make an authentic, agreed-upon notion of respect intrinsic to all parties concerned and all of these challenges that we're facing? What would happen? Would these things be able to exist the way that they do now? And as we kind of decided this night, we said, all things being equal, probably not. So that kind of got us excited about this notion of respect and how maybe we should utilize whatever skill set we have to bring stories forth that show this notion of respect, i.e. this notion of seeing things outside of yourself mm-hmm. and looking at an issue without just yourself in mind, but the greater good in mind. Let's bring stories that have that at the core, and so can sort of, whether it's a simple way or not, kind of show respect at work, what it looks like, create through video a framework for this concept of respect.
It's a beautiful, beautiful undertaking, and I salute you for not only your idealism, but for your the knowledge you've used and utilized in this in pursuing this project. It is just a unbelievably beautiful thing, and if we could talk a little bit about some of the people you encountered. One example comes to mind for me that I was so impressed with. First of all, I never saw Gerard in any of the footage or you of this particular episode, but it centered around a lady who was a young widow. Her husband had been killed during the war or something, and she was trying to raise like a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they moved into a little tiny house, and it was just it was so poignantly put. It was just beautiful. It literally brought tears to my eyes. I was so impressed.
Oh,
and I thought, that's
Jack.
One of the episodes that I saw that made me want to get in touch with you folks. It was so
Thank
well
you.
Done. Talk about it a little bit, how you encountered her and how you decided to portray what she was going through.
Do you want to talk about that, Gerard?
Go ahead, Gerard, yeah.
Well, yes, sure. I mean, first of all, we have an interest, you know, for tiny houses in general. It's I think that's one element, or one direction where we ought to work, especially in this society where we tend to do everything, you know, in oversized, you know, ways, spending more resources and more money, you know. And so I had meant to address this in the series, and I met an architect in Oregon, just outside, actually, Eugene, Todd Miller, who builds tiny houses. And so I interviewed last year. I have not cut his story yet. I'm going to get to it, you know, fairly soon now. And he presented how he's doing it, and so it was a story on him. And I interviewed actually a lady, as you see now in all interviews, we have like short support, like side perspectives that sort of give relief to what a person has to say. So I interviewed a lady who bought one of his houses not too far from him in Salem, and he gave me the name of Alicia. Actually, when I interviewed him, he was finishing Alicia's house. And then I continued on, you know, on the road. I was busy, you know, doing other things. And several months later, I think it's like 6 months later, I connected with Alicia Saint Germain, who's not too far at all from us. Actually, she's between Chico and Red Bluff. And that's how I got in touch with her first. And then I interviewed her. Then we went back with Stacy to do a side interview of her mom and got more footage. But it's essentially how we get in touch, you know, with her. And the story, as you said, you know, is extremely poignant because of what she had to go through, what led her to make this this decision. A decision which I think is a decision that, of course, in her case, you know, is sort of extreme. She just lost her husband when she, you know, at 30, and she has two little kids that she wants to spend time with, and find herself in the predicament of, you know, being forced to work and probably work more than a share to be able to make payments on what became an oversized house at this point. So she had this idea to rent her house for income and sort of regroup in a tiny house so that she wouldn't have to spend so much and would spend all the time with her little children. I think a lot of people, you know, today are going to probably make similar decisions for similar reasons, not necessarily such a dire loss as she experienced, by just realizing that, you know, why should you give up all your short time on earth to pay bills for stuff that you don't really need? You know, I think it's a subtle form of slavery.
It was very nice that you didn't get into it at all. I mean, you basically let her tell the story herself and the other people that were involved too. And I don't think we saw any footage of you at all. It was great.
No, we're never in the vignettes.
That's
the
very
way
true.
The way the vignettes are shot, we're never in them. They're always just the individual. They're usually based around an individual, sometimes more than one person, but usually an individual who introduces themselves, says where they're from, and says what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the interview consists of three questions, basically. Who you are, we'll actually save that for the end.
What they're doing,
why they're doing it, which we really feel is what's missing from a lot of narrative in storytelling these days. And then at the end, we ask them who they are. Gerard has a very strong belief that once you hear what a person is doing and why they're doing it, then they become very interesting to you, and then you want to know who they are. So that's the way the interviews are set up. We also always have some side interviews talking about why this person is inspirational to others.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all compacted in short stories that last anywhere from 4.5 to 8 or 9 minutes. So we're never in them. It's all about the person and the choice that they've made, the idea that they've had, and the respectful action that they've taken, and why.
And the formula you have adopted has been very ingenious. It certainly hooked me, and I saw as many of those things as I possibly could while they were being aired last year on Free Speech TV. Briefly, I want to mention Free Speech TV. For those who don't know what it is, you can see Free Speech TV. You can Google that or just go to www.freespeech.org. They have a lot of very good programming. You see things on Free Speech TV that you will never see on any other corporate-owned major mainstream news media. It's just not there. It's ignored, or it's tamped down. It's just not reported a lot of times, and you see it on Free Speech. That's why I go there constantly, and I'm constantly advocating for them. They're so good. But I happened to see Gerard and Stacy's programming last year, like I said, and I was so impressed with it that I emailed them. I went to their site, which we'll talk about in a moment, and I emailed them, and we've been in contact ever since, and it's been a wonderful ride, I'll tell you this, because they are involved in something truly magnificent. I mean, it is absolutely beautiful. It's idealism in action, just kind of like Bernie Sanders is politically, and Robert Kennedy was politically before he was shot. And, it's just idealism in action, and it is absolutely beautiful, these portrayals that they do of people. They had Cindy Sheehan on there. I'll let them talk about that in a little bit. But first, I want both of you or one of you mention your website and mention, if you can, please, let people know that they can donate there. Everybody grab a pencil if you can and write this down. You'll want to go there. It is absolutely amazing. They have some examples of the vignettes they've done, and it's truly a good use of the internet, and it'll reward your life. It really will. So please let us know, Stacy. Tell us about your site.
Sure. We've got a few ways that you can find us, and like Jack mentioned, we are self-funded and donation-funded at this point. You can find us at www.respectfulrevolution.org. That's our website, and all of our videos live on that website. You'll see a tab on the homepage called Stories, and what we've done is sort of reconfigured a Google map, and on the Google map of the country live the stories. So you'll see little icons that are orange and have a movie clapboard as the graphic, and everywhere you see an orange icon, that's where a video lives. If you're pulled out on the map, you'll see numbers, and those numbers on the map correspond to how many stories are in that region. And as you go in closer to the map, that will start to spread out, and you'll start to see individual
icons of videos. So you just click on that. It'll take you to a title. You see the title. You click on the title. That will take you to the video. There's also a full list of videos on that page as well that you can opt to do instead of going through the map. So that's our website. Lots of information there. That's also where people would donate if they were so moved to do so.
And by donating, you have to hit join or something, don't you?
Yeah, that's the join page. So there are six tabs on our website at the top of the home page, and next to the story page is the join page. And it's all very simple, and you can select to support us by the mile, which is just an open donation portal, or you can become a member of the Revolution and sign up that way. That's also where you might just reach out and contact us if you wanted to contact us. So that's the website. Then we've also got a YouTube channel that we started building a little over a year ago. That's going really well. You can subscribe to that. It's just Respectful Revolution on YouTube. As I said, it's a subscribable channel. We try to put a new video up every week or two, sometimes sooner. And there are some special videos that live on the YouTube channel that don't live on our website, but all of our straight, edited, interview-based Respectful Revolution vignettes, all of our portraits are on the website. The YouTube channel has many of our portraits, but not all of them, plus some little special things. So we've got the YouTube channel. Then we also have a really active Facebook page. That's also you can just find us on Facebook at Respectful Revolution. And then we also have a Twitter account. And evidently my 20-year-old daughter informs me that we need to get on Instagram because it's really lame that we're not on Instagram. So we're going to start doing that.
And they would know. A 20-year-old would know.
Yeah, she would know, and she's right. And it is lame that we're not. It's just like, oh my gosh, you know, like, because we need something else to do. You know, this is the two of us. That's it. I mean, at this point, we've got we're closing in on 150 videos on the website. We've got some more to edit. By the time that's all said and done, we'll have about 200 stories that we ourselves have researched, filmed, edited, and we curate ourselves. So, it takes some time to get everything up there. But, adding another thing.
It is absolutely
like Instagram,
amazing.
We're like, oh.
When you go there, people, I encourage you to go to the Respectful Revolution website and to also go over their YouTube page and their Facebook page, too, because when you see this stuff, you will not believe that only two people did this. I mean, it is absolutely incredible. It's so professionally done, and you know, Gerard's been in the field for many years, so he's not neither one of them are new to this this technique and this medium. I mean, they're very good at it, and they, you know, it's very viewable, and it's definitely television worthy. There's no doubt about it. And we're talking about maybe 10 episodes being you're working toward 10 episodes being featured on Free Speech TV this fall and winter?
That's for starter, I would think. The idea being to create half-hour episodes that will group together a few of the videos, sometimes four, sometimes five, depending on the length, grouped by location. And so what we do now is we are putting together the pilot episode. That's also for us a bit of a field of experimentation to see what looks, you know, good. We have an intro that has been created by a friend, and we need to sort of create some sort of glue, a bit of narration between the episodes. We need to find a palatable formula to create a coherent, essentially half hour putting together different people, you know, in the same place. So, and hopefully once we have that, we'll refine it over time, and we'll create more episodes and hopefully find other stations that will be interested in showing that. You know?
Yeah, we're really excited about the Free Speech TV thing, because now we've been offered this tremendous opportunity, because as you mentioned, I think you mentioned it, Jack, that Free Speech TV is a national news network.
They are.
And so I think they have a potential viewership of 40 million homes.
They do. And another nice thing, they're non-commercial. You don't get plagued with a commercial every 3 or 4 minutes. That is non-existent on Free Speech TV. It's beautiful viewing. It's uninterrupted viewing, and it's wonderful. And especially for a medium like this that Gerard and Stacy are producing, it is just made for that. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Stacy?
Yeah, let's hope so. Yes, Gwen?
Yeah, I have a question. Whoa, I got in there. Good. I would like you to talk about some of your stories, because I think that's going to, you know, people want to hear about that. And one story that I saw that lends itself to this conversation is the story about Ellen Johnson Fay and learning to talk with compassion using the Marshall Rosenberg book.
Mm-hmm.
Can
mm-hmm.
you tell us about
right.
that?
Well,
do you
want to
talk about that,
Jordan? Sure. We know, we try to be extremely broad, first of all. You know, I want to perhaps inject at this point that a big part of the motivation for doing this comes also from me being an American by choice, you know, having come here, I sort of sharing this side of the American dream, which is about contributing at least to making the world a better place, as opposed to exploiting everything and everybody in sight, which is the other side, I think, you know, the ugly side of the American dream. Many people came over and stayed here and were born here and continue here with the idea that they will squeeze a lemon to the last drop and just toss it behind, you know, and move on to
good
the next
point.
Thing to exploit.
Very good point. Very good
and
point, Gerard.
Well, thank you. And it's not neither our motivation nor our experience. We meet nothing but beautiful, generous people, you know, here. And I would think that you have far more generous folks in this country than you have, you know, like, vulture-type exploiters. But these often have long claws and long teeth, and they rule, so they make a lot of noise, and you think, you know, that that's a norm. But I don't think it's a norm at all. And so traveling here, meeting all kinds of people, really, really inspired us to cover all kinds of topics that spring from wanting to participate in making the world a better place. And we touch on, you name it, you know, trying to protect natural resources, trying to maybe help other people, being a mentor, you know, for kids who need mentoring, or trying to be of service to maybe poor elderly, or fighting animal cruelty, or, you know, anything that is the pride, the beauty of the American dream, something that makes you proud to be a human being, you know, and to live, you know, to live here. And so, yes, you know, on the road, we look people up when we have an idea for our itinerary. We enter different keywords online, doing a search in any given town, anywhere that reflects a sense of compassion, of wanting to volunteer, of wanting to do something good for others. And we come up with organizations, businesses, people, we call them. And then typically it takes one or two good contacts in any given town, people who dig, you know, the idea of the project. And then themselves, they know other people too, you know, so they turn us on to other people. And so we've touched on, you just mentioned, you know, this lady who is in
Colorado Springs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And teaches nonviolent communication, and we have had other stories more recently, sort of similar. Rita Connor, am I right? In Reno.
Rita Sloan.
Sloan. Who does it in Reno, in jails, teaching also nonviolent communication
in prison. Mm-hmm.
And so that's an example of the type of action that we like to highlight. You know, you're not going to hear that on Fox News. You know, you're going to hear about murder and mayhem and cannibalism
and
the devil knows what.
And cheating and all the negative things.
I would interject.
Right.
You put Fox and News like it was a real program. That's not in the news.
No.
I'm sorry?
It's
right.
Propaganda, and we've had enough of that nonsense. That's why this is so beautiful and such a great and original undertaking for American TV. My goodness, I'm so impressed with what you guys have done and what you're attempting to do. This is true good TV. People complain about how crappy TV is, and it really is. A lot of commercial TV is absolutely horrible and not even worth watching half the time. But this is good TV. This is TV that can inspire you, and you can learn from it, and that's what TV—that's TV in its best state, as far as I'm concerned. So,
well, that's what Edward R. Murrow said. It can either be the best educated or the biggest wasteland. And
yes,
I think
and a lot
the,
of
right.
TV
so let
the
I
best
mean
educator.
Let's follow his lead.
Exactly.
Yeah, there
right.
you go. Agreed.
Right. What an honor.
He's
what
a good one to follow. Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. So, I'm sorry. I was just going to address you mentioning Ellen Johnson Faye, Gwen.
Great.
You know, it's she's a perfect example of the kind of story we might do. This is not bombastic stuff. You know, this is extremely... Yeah, it's extremely grassroots. It's very simply produced.
Mm-hmm.
But what it has going for it, I think, is sincerity and realism. Because she's a perfect example of, you might not think that would make an interesting story, but here's a woman who made the choice to give back in such a way that I don't know, you know, for those of you who don't know Marshall's work and how effective it's been for so many people in changing the way that they communicate. Imagine, again with my magic wand, I'm a bit of an idealist, but imagine if we had more people like Ellen who were willing to, in their own communities, educate about this really effective way of communicating that totally diffuses any defensiveness and allows for open, honest communication. Oh, my God. I mean, things would completely change. I know they
you
would.
You bet it would. And it's very healthy. It's a very healthy undertaking. It's extremely recommended.
It's very important, and
yes.
there are lots of ways to do it, but his is really excellent. And so she's an example of someone who's made the choice, instead of just learning it for herself and utilizing it in her own family, she's decided that it's vital enough that she's going to take it out into the community and teach whoever wants to learn. She's going to teach them. And so by her taking that action step, and being motivated to do that, she is single-handedly improving the life in her community of Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is real. She's doing it. It's making things better.
It's the purest form of activism
of
you can have. And we have a lot of activists on this show, and most of them are dedicated politically or economically. But this is this transcends all of that. This is true activism in action, and it is absolutely beautiful and wholly recommended. I can't recommend your site and what you guys are doing enough. It is just beautiful, and I encourage everybody out there to go to respectfulrevolution.org, look it over, hit the join section, and donate as generously as you can. This is a nonprofit, very, very beautiful endeavor, and it needs support. And I encourage people to do that very, very strongly. You will never regret it. If you look over the work that they've done, folks, you will be as amazed as I am. The idealism is so beautiful. the attempt at making the world better. I mean, that in and of itself is a very admirable trait, and it's so abundantly obvious in the work you're doing. It is just it's just beautiful.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that we hope that people will watch these vignettes, and they won't just watch them and say, "Oh, what a beautiful story," but that what's going to sometimes happen, and this has been our goal all along, is that we wanted to share solutions. We wanted to kind of fly in the face of fear-mongering, negative
good
television content.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to provide hope and, the really important bit, inspiration.
Yes,
so
very good.
We want people to watch the videos and maybe, fingers crossed, they're going to see something that resonates with them, and it's going to be enough to get them to pick up the phone and call their best friend and say, you know what, I just watched this video on these college kids who traveled across the country. They literally walked across the country and picked up trash and educated school kids all along the way about zero waste and recycling and all of that. And we should do that.
Absolutely.
You know, like we want people to be inspired enough to take some sort of action in their own community. But Gwen, I interrupted you.
I was going to add, that's wonderful. I was going to ask you to tell us about some of the stories that are uppermost in your mind to give folks an idea of all the different, because I was really wiped out by all the different videos. I watched about, I'd say, 8 of them today, and that's anything compared to the list that you have in there and all the different ideas that are being explored and taken to the manifest level, and your recording of them. I think if folks hear, you know, just at like Henry Red Cloud or even mm-hmm. Cheryl Slater in Las Vegas was giving everybody at her Blue Sky yoga studio yoga. If they can't afford it, she still will have, you know, a yoga class with you. I think
mm-hmm.
these
mm-hmm.
stories, if
yeah.
you can highlight a few, gets people wondering, what are they talking about? Let me go look.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Why don't you want to take one, Gerard, and then I'll take one?
Sure. We can you know, take several. We can even go fast, you know, don't necessarily go in detail, but to show you the variety, you know. How about Kendrick Perkins, gentleman, ex-Marine in New Orleans, who, right after the devastation of Hurricane Katrina, saw the collapse of the school system especially in poor neighborhoods of New Orleans. Saw a lot of let's say poor kids, you know, in his neighborhoods not being tended to, and he started to use his skill, especially as an athlete, as a, you know, sports person, to become a sports mentor for a lot of kids. You know, that he's sort of developed a relationship now over the years, and so he totally delved into
yep.
that. And gave a purpose to all these kids, you know? So that's
wow.
one example, for instance.
Yeah, that's a really cute one.
Beautiful one.
One that sticks out for me is the two kids. We show this video a lot. These two kids, I don't know if you know of them, but you would love these two brothers. They have Aztec names. It's Quatli and Shutiskotl, who they're from Boulder, Colorado, and they're now 15 and I think probably 11. When we filmed them, they were 13 and just turned 10. They're young and they're amazing, and they are environmental activists. They are as active as any adult.
Incredible.
Who's out there on the forefront of this fight. And they are the most articulate, passionate people. I won't say kids. They're just the most articulate, passionate people that you would ever meet. And they're children. And so it packs this punch on a level that, I mean, you just... you have to take them at their word because they've got no hidden agenda at all. They want to save the planet. That's it. And they are so talented, and so they do environmental hip hop. And they speak, and the older brother, Shuta Scott, he just spoke at the UN like 2 weeks ago. He got a standing ovation.
Very impressive.
Yeah, they're amazing. So they're one of our stories, and out of Boulder, Colorado, and we really feel proud to even have them in our stable of stories, so to speak.
Well, it's a delight to have you both on today. At the end of every show, I always urge listeners to keep pushing forward, and I can think of no better way, culturally, ideally, politically, economically, socially, any which way, to push forward than to adopt what you believe as a part of the respectful revolution, that respect and courtesy and decency go a long way. And what a great way to live, and what a great, great organization you've begun. Tell us some more, if you would.
How about Julie, in Lone Pine, outside Death Valley, who started...
Yeah, Julie Fote.
Who had this idea? You know, she lives in this part of the Owen Valley that has been transformed into a complete, you know, the desperate desert, especially by all the pumping and water pumping, you know, by the water, LA Water and Power. And she saw the need for her and other farmers to have better dirt, you know, and in their area
to have dirt,
in fact, mules to go up and down the mountain. You know, they're right on the side of Mount McKinley, and so
Mount Whitney, honey.
Mount Whitney, I'm sorry. Mount Whitney. Mount Whitney. And she thought, hey, here there's a lot of mule and horse manure that some people have to haul to the dump and pay to get rid of. That thing is gold. And she started collecting it, started inviting people with pack mules to bring, you know, their manure. And she started, you know, creating dirt, also using bits from her, like brown trims from her own land. And she proceeded to give this dirt to farmers and gardeners who needed good dirt, you know, to grow food. And she's been doing that now for some years. The foundation helped her for a while. And she just does it because, with a vengeance, she wants to help farming in her valley, you know. So
right, because here's she was working with an organization called the Metabolic Studio in Los Angeles, and they were providing some of the funding at the onset. And so, but I don't know if you are familiar back there with the history of the Owens Valley in California, but this was once, you know, a little over a century ago, an area that was a farming area, and the water... if you've ever seen the movie Chinatown, the water was taken by Los Angeles Water Department of Water and Power.
Yeah.
And basically over the course of the last century, the water table has been drained from this valley. And so they basically cannot farm there anymore. There's about 2% private land ownership in that valley, if you can imagine. 98% of the land is owned either by LA Water and Power or Bureau of Land Management. And so people can't even hardly farm, even if they wanted to. But some of them can, and they really want to. So what Julie has done is she is actually building soil from nothing. She's going up into the Eastern Sierra, where there are pack mule stations during hunting season. She's reclaiming all the dung from the horses and the mules that they use. They used to have to take it to the dump. They were just throwing it in the dump. Now they bring it to her ranch, and she composts it, and she makes soil out of nothing. And they take it to anyone in the Owens Valley who wants to grow food. And
great,
they're not waiting.
You said something to make me go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, they're not waiting. And this is something that I think is a thread that runs through almost all of these stories, is these are people who aren't waiting for someone to come and save them. They're not waiting for the government to do it. They're not waiting for their church to do it. I mean, some you know, whatever it is. They're taking
doing it
action
themselves.
On their own.
Yeah.
They're doing it themselves, and they're not doing it in an angry way. They're doing it in a way that is still a part of society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still a part of society. They still want to function with others. They don't want to sequester themselves off in something and do it themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're really coming up with ideas that we all can make use of, and that's their motivation, you know. So they're doing it themselves, and this goes back to what you were saying, I think, Jack, that we need to move in this direction. This is the direction that we need to move in. We can't, and I think people are getting this now, it's about evolution, it's about societal evolution.
Right.
Gerard and I happen to think this is about human evolution.
Right.
And that this is how we are going to be able to remain on this incredibly beautiful life-supporting planet that we get to call mm-hmm. home.
It's a great idea.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know,
good. Oh, thank goodness.
That, you said something that kind of piqued my interest here a little bit. You said basically in that area, only 2% is in private hands.
Yeah.
The rest of it is all public and owned by. So that would tell me that all the infrastructure and all the tax base has to come from the 2% of the population in that area.
Mm.
That's kind of a really slated, skewed kind of demographics in my mind.
Yeah, I know that they definitely, I don't know all the ins and outs of how that all works, Wayne, but I know that they have a really tough time economically.
It's
an economically depressed area, even though it's quite beautiful there
uh-huh.
on the eastern slope of the Sierra Nevada. But it's a place that's been ransacked. It's a place that's been ransacked by corporate interests, mm-hmm. for sure.
I spent some time in South America when I was in the Navy, and the separation of those who had and those who had not was really extreme. Of course, those who had, you know, like many of the corporations today in this country or the really wealthy, really don't pay the taxes. All the tax burden and funding of everything is all on the working middle class.
Well, the corporate
right.
philosophy
oh, yeah.
is me first and to hell with everybody else. As long as I get mine, to hell with you. That is
exactly.
not sustainable. That has got to end. And I think people
exactly.
are slowly but surely coming to that realization that, hey, corporations, they produce beautiful things and all kinds of things you can buy, but you don't need most of them. And there's a better and different way that we've got to start pursuing, or we're going to extinguish ourselves. We're going to eliminate ourselves as living human beings on this planet, because we're going to use up all our resources, and there'll be
that's
nothing
right.
left for anybody to live with, you know?
That's right.
Sure.
That's right. And that's why things like we like Gerard and I think we've talked about it enough. I can say this for both of us, that we do think things are changing. And,
yeah, I think so.
And this is why you see the rise of something like, for example, the triple bottom line, where corporations are treating equally profit, people, and the planet. This is a huge thing now. This
that's
never
beautiful.
Existed 15
that's
years ago. And it's happening.
Yeah.
It is absolutely happening. Because I think another thing, too, is that the generation that's now graduating from college, they're not okay with living in a way that's not in line with their values.
Right.
So they're kind we have this sort of like groundswell of youth who are looking to do things a different way, and it's being created and it's being reflected slowly but surely, I think, in corporate America. I mean, I think there's a way to do this that
right.
we're not going to kill ourselves in the process.
Right. It's a movement
or like,
that you can't stop movement, and this is a movement.
That's right.
And it will not be stopped.
Yeah, I think so.
It's too powerful
to be
stopped.
It's a revolution.
Yes, that's a
revolution,
respectful
Jack.
Revolution.
Yeah, you got it. Very good.
Right.
We've got to a point where we've been doing business for a long time, scraping the hull of the ship from inside to make all kind of trinkets, you know, some useful and some not so useful. But we've got to a point now where the hull is so thin that it starts breaching in some places, you know. And it's become obvious for everybody, both, you know, normal folks with good brains, especially now that education is spreading, worldliness, you know, through internet in particular. But also, I mean, all corporate leaders are not, you know, crazy lunatics who don't see anything better than the next quarter report,
mm-hmm.
you know. Many people realize that, you know, what good is there in destroying my client base? You know, who am I going to sell my stuff to? You know, it makes no sense. So I think people who have good brains, you know, they come to realize that, okay, we are now in a new situation, you know, it's a new paradigm, less money, more people, less resources, more pollution, you know, more factors, more parameters to take into account to create a long-lasting business, profitable business situation. And that's great.
Do the two of you do any lecturing at universities or colleges to the younger college group?
Would love to.
Go ahead, honey.
But no, Stacey in particular has a passion for public speaking, right?
No, I don't. He's teasing. It's so ironic when earlier in the during the show, and I mentioned we had a particular span of time that was really difficult, and part of that was my job ending at the community radio station. And at the time, I said, okay, as long as I don't have to do any fundraising, any event planning, or any public speaking, I'll be fine. And it was like, I might
and
as well have been.
How's that working out for you?
Yeah, how's that working out for you? I might as well have just, I think I was placing an order with the universe, and it just said, okay, here you go. Here's what we're going to give you. So, yeah, we actually, just this past spring, where we live in Chico, California, there's a California State University here.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did an 8-week film and community forum series. So it wasn't really
great
for the students per se, but they were definitely there, and it
That's
was
good.
On the university campus, but it was open to the public. So what we did was we, over the course of 8 weeks, every Wednesday night, it happened to be, we would select a theme. So for example, one of our nights was sustainable living, or
mm-hmm.
one of our nights was personal growth for the common good, or something like that. And we would show 4 or 5 of our vignettes around that theme. And then the second half of the forum, we would bring local folks from this community who are doing work around that theme to speak about what they're doing and who they are and why they've made the choices that they've made to work in this area when they could be doing something else.
Great
and
idea.
It ended up being, it was so great.
And,
it was,
you know,
really
well
received.
It was very popular and very well accepted.
It was
well
received, and it looks like we're probably going to be doing that every year.
Good.
That's what it sounds like.
We're coming up toward the end of the hour, but we're going to keep on going. People can access us in our archive at Here Be Monsters. I wanted to mention before we get off here.
Jack,
what's that,
we're live. We are live for another.
Oh, we're live all the way through. Okay, great. I just wanted to mention, I have every year in my blog, which is the Saturday Afternoon Post, and I have a blog, and I've been doing it for many years, and every year, right around, you know, usually June or early July, I do a feature called Once a Year, and it's called the Head and Heart Award. I date it every year, and past recipients have been Mother Teresa and Van Jones and a number of other activists and people that are working, doing their very best for the betterment of humankind and the betterment of living conditions, and giving of themselves for other people. And this year's selection I featured in my June 25th blog. You can go to Saturday Afternoon Post and scroll down to the June 25th entry. of the 2015 Head and Heart Award. I gave it to Gerard Ungerman and Stacey Ware, the people we're interviewing on the show today, because they have done a great job illustrating how people can live positively, respectfully, and they are just so inspiring, and the beauty of what they're portraying, it needs to be known. And so I thought I'd feature that, which I did, and I asked for donations and stuff on that particular spot, and I encourage everybody to go to their website. Look at what they've done. It is just speaks for itself. It's so beautiful. It's so absolutely breathtakingly well done, and it's very. It'll really inspire you. It'll make you want to get out and do something for somebody. It's awesome. And it should be required viewing in every classroom in the country. I think it really should.
Thank you.
Because it's that good. It's that good, and it would make people get on a new tack instead of trying to rip people off. They'd be thinking of, what can I do for others? That's the way to live.
Mm. Very good.
You know,
good.
That's the way to live, gang. And I salute both of you for what you're doing. Thank you so much for being on the show today and for inspiring me the way you have. Boy, it's infectious. Look at me go here.
You know? I know. I think, can I just, when we're having a hard day, can we just call you?
be my guest.
I need an infusion of Jack.
it's just been a wonderful experience, what you've been doing, and it's so enlightening in many ways. And success feeds on success, goodness feeds on goodness. So let's keep that in mind.
I think so.
And it's a good way to keep pushing forward. So if you want to push forward, look no further than Stacey Ware and Gerard Ungerman and the beautiful work they're doing.
Yeah. I think these vignettes, you know, they're, like I mentioned, they're really pretty simply produced, and they're not slick, like
normal, it's not gimmicky,
like quote unquote normal television at all. They're very down home, grassroots, simply produced videos, and
that's what
makes
them so appealing.
I hope so. And so you watch one and you think, oh, that's nice. And then you watch a couple more, and what starts to happen if you watch multiple portraits is you start to, I believe, this is what's happened for me anyway, you really start to see that it's reflective of a larger thing that's at hand here. It's not just the story on Ellen Johnson Fay, or it's not just the story of the kids walking across the United States picking up trash and educating children. It's all of these stories. And we're here to tell you that this is going on absolutely in every community. It doesn't matter where you are.
You just got to look for it.
Not just Chico. You just have to look for it. And it's so great to ask people to, you know, give us an idea of a story. They might think about it for a few minutes and not really know. But then, you know, you give them a couple hours or you give them a day to think about it, and they think about it and they come up with, you know, five stories, and then they keep thinking about it long after we're gone.
It's very healthy.
Yeah, it's great, and it's just as real as anything else that's going on out there, and we think newsworthy.
I think so, too.
Why are we not talking about these things?
And I think we are planting seeds. You know, what we seek to create is not so much something that you passively watch, hopefully will be entertained. And I think if you approach one of our videos with that sort of mentality that is sort of expected, you might be disappointed. Because the idea is not to entertain you with a gimmicky blast of images and energy. It's making you meet somebody that you don't get to meet, but you would love them if you get to meet them, you know? And so it's like, it is the beginning of a trend, we hope, where we're going to leverage the power of internet, the power of things like Facebook and YouTube in particular, so that eventually we can create a world movement that's based on you do something good, you know, you have something that you do for the world, for people, for animals, whatever, you present, you know, yourself, and you put sort of this sort of video ID out there that make people meet you, like you, maybe they're going to call you, they're going to become friends with you, you're going to help each other, you know, doing whatever it is that you're doing. But that's really the long-term vision we have, you know, not just passive viewing, but a means to meet somebody you would never have met otherwise. And you fall in love with these people. You become, you know, their friends, and
yes.
You create bridges from across the world.
And it transcends culture, it transcends language in a way, and it transcends all the artificial barriers we set up to separate people. It unifies people. It's, you know, in one fell swoop, you folks are doing what is the true nature of Christianity, of Judaism, of Buddhism, of all the major religions. Mm-hmm. You are putting it into your little vignettes, and you're just doing a great example for everyone,
Jack,
in the world to follow.
Well, Jack, I would say they're doing more than that. They're living spiritual lives, and they're inviting other people to do so by being authentic and kind, and not judging one another, and taking all this negativity that's going on out there. They're providing the balance. It's always yin and yang. There's always a balance, and they're part of that balance.
Right.
And it's really your stories, your little films, they're engaging because you really do capture somebody's story.
Yeah.
I had seen Cindy's before on her page, but I watched a few of them, and every one of them I was engaged. I wanted to know the end of the, and they're only, like you said, a few minutes long. And in that few minutes, it does tell a story. And it does make you stop and think, what can I do? What I want to be like that. I want to go there.
I hope so. You know, it's like inspiration. We all need to be inspired if we're going to turn this ship around. And the thing is you have to come in contact with something to inspire you. You know, you have to come in contact with something to be inspired by. And so that's...
Right.
That's all we're doing. That's what we're doing. We want to provide the contact.
Well, I'm encouraging you to do the best you can and to keep at it and keep pushing forward yourselves. I'm going to push forward in your direction here, too, as much as I can. I want to see this succeed. I just want to see this become the iconic format for television programming in the future. Yeah, that's very idealistic and unrealistic to a certain extent. But beyond that, look at, we have these so-called reality shows. They're not real at all. What you're portraying is the real thing, the real everyday thing, and it doesn't even have a name. It hasn't been commercialized. You know, it hasn't, and that's great. So I want to encourage you to keep doing it. You've created an entirely new mold here. And it's just absolutely wonderful and beneficial for everybody.
Jack, I'd like to say you bring in the reality shows and stuff. What Gerard and Stacy are attempting to build does not commodify life. It doesn't present a product. It shares values and inspires people to look within themselves.
It's aesthetic beauty.
Oh, thank you so much, guys.
Yeah,
oh, thank
wow,
you.
Thanks.
Thank you. You've inspired us so much already, just in this brief time we've been talking with you. And I know, Wayne, if you go to the site and take a look at it, I don't know if you have or not, but I know Gwen has, and
right.
I have, and it's been really uplifting all the way through. And it's just, I want to chart your progress here, and I want to see constant progress, and I'm working to make sure that you do have that progress, because you deserve it, and so does the world.
So, Stacy, can I ask you, as far as putting a fall show under Free Speech TV, which is a really great thing to have going on, and it'll get you out there, is it up to you guys to raise funds, or do you have enough material that you can present a produced show to them that they are present a show that they will produce for you? I'm asking you if you need funding for your show to go on and put some bullseyes where you need them. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, I think the show, at least this first season, the first 10 episodes, are going to happen no matter what, because we have most of the content. All the stories exist that you know we can use. We can build 10 shows no problem, because like I mentioned, we have almost, you know, by the time we're done editing, we'll have about 200 stories altogether. And we'll continue filming. But what the funding it will be utilized for is producing a show around those portraits. So we need to do graphics. We need to shoot the glue between the stories. There's a lot of work to be done to create an actual broadcast-ready half-hour show. So that's where we need funding, and also we need funding to keep the thing going. I mean, we're in the middle of our fourth year. We're for the most part we've been self-funded, but we kind of can't do that anymore. We're kind of at the end of our savings with that, and just things have changed, and
they need to eat once in a while, and they need to buy gasoline to propel the motorbike across the country. I mean,
We haven't even mentioned that when Gerard is out on his own on the road, which he often is, because like I've mentioned, I have kids, so I can't travel as freely as he can. When he's out collecting stories on his own, he's traveling on a motorcycle.
Yeah, right. Very economically, by
like
the way.
Yeah.
Which is this great, like, adventurous part of
the
project. Yeah,
so, you know, we're not talking to people that are in big Cadillacs and have garish, huge appetites for wealth. And no, these are very down-to-earth people, if you can't tell already by what they've said today. This is a fact. They are down-to-earth, regular, normal people that just have a beautiful idea and want to see it blossom. And anything I can do to help that happen, I'm in on it. I'm telling you right now. I'm so enthusiastic about this project and the beauty inherent in it, and it's just wonderful. So come on, people, cough up some money. Let's keep these folks going.
We
have the passion, we have the skill, we have the determination, the know-how, now we have the plan. And, you know, we have everything, but we just need fuel, you know. We live very simply. We don't have many expenses. We try to keep a very low, you know, overhead. And that's also why we travel the way we do, or I do often, you know. And so we need to find people who will completely share in the passion, the vision, and will have a bit more meaning than us, and will want to, you know, to help become our executive producers. And they can rest assured that their buckies, whether it's a lot or little, will be used, you know, like no one else. We will stretch the scent. That's what we do here.
Well, I'm your number one fan, and I'm going to do a number one job trying to help you you folks on this, because it's a great endeavor.
I'm sorry, what, Gwen?
Yeah, oh, thank you, Stacey. I'm going to get my microphone back again. I don't usually use it. I think I should, though. I wonder if you've considered any crowd resourcing, like GoFundMe or anything.
Oh, yeah. We just finished an attempted Kickstarter campaign. We just wrapped it up a little less than a month ago. It was really a ton of work and unfortunately unsuccessful. We used a Kickstarter platform, which is an all or nothing crowdsourcing platform.
You didn't use GoFundMe then. You used the Kickstarter.
We didn't. We used Kickstarter. Kickstarter is really utilized for it has to be a creative project. And we loved their platform, and
we thought that the all or nothing nature of Kickstarter would work in our favor. But it just, our goal was $40,000, and I think we raised, you know, just over 11. So it was nowhere near what we needed to raise. And we only, you know, we had, I think, 40 days to do it, and it just didn't happen. And so now we're having to, you know, kind of rethink the way that we're doing things. And at the same time, continue on with the plan at hand. I mean, none of our situation doesn't change at all. The TV show is happening. We signed a contract with Free Speech TV. We're going to produce the 10 shows no matter what. If we got more funding, would the television show be better? Probably. But we're gonna do what we can with what we have in hand. The great thing is about the contract that we have with Free Speech TV, if we can just get over this mountain of opportunity that we have in front of us and build the best show possible, it's a non-exclusive contract with Free Speech TV. So what that means is we are free. We own the show. Free Speech TV doesn't own the show. We co-own it. They get their episodes, but we can take those finished programs and we can shop them around to PBS affiliates or Link TV, or we can do whatever we want with those shows. We can translate them and sell them to Asian television or French television or anyone who will talk to us that we feel we can work with. That is a potential possibility for us. So we really, it's also a way that if we can do a good enough job building a show, then we can bring on underwriters, which then becomes, a stream of income for the project.
Correct.
We could become less reliant on straight fundraising, and just be able to focus much more on
the beauty of it
the work,
is you get to keep your freedom, you get to keep your individuality. You don't have to become slaves to corporations in any sense of the word, and that's the beauty of it. And that's why this project must be successful. It must continue to grow, and it will benefit everybody who comes in contact with it. So I urge everybody.
Yeah, we'll see.
Everybody, go to their YouTube channel. Go to respectfulrevolution.org. Look at the vignettes that are on there. You will be very impressed. And you will want to donate. You will want to join and donate, I guarantee you. This is not, I'm not soft-soaping this. This is the truth. So it's very good viewing. I can guarantee that right now. And it'll be even better if they can get their funding and produce this and then sell it. It'll be even better. So.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Jack.
We have a few minutes left, and we do have someone calling in.
Great.
I'll open up the mic and see if they're calling in for a question or whether they're just listening. But 916 area code, do you have a question?
No, hello? I'm just listening.
Okay. Okie doke.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome.
Very good.
916 area code, that's close to us.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's our home turf.
Okay.
Oh, that's great. I know that the Kickstarter program is a difficult one to raise money on. If you don't get there, it's all or nothing.
Right.
Whereas, like GoFundMe, they give you the funds you do collect.
Right.
Yeah, but I see.
Yeah, and maybe that was a bad choice on my side. I was trying to decide between Indiegogo and Kickstarter, and I really liked Kickstarter's platform, and I thought because they specialize in creative endeavors, like you can't raise money on Kickstarter to fund, you know, your kids' orthodontia.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. Or you know, when families are in need, when there's an emergency, that's what GoFundMe is really set up for, is that kind of stuff. And Indiegogo is kind of in between the two. And so I was really trying to decide between Kickstarter and Indiegogo. And I just sort of, there just came a day where I had to pick. And I just picked it. And it seemed like that's what I was being called to do. And so that's what we did. And It didn't work out the way we had hoped it did, but I wouldn't say that it hasn't worked out in
right.
a lot of ways. You know, I would say 50% of the people that have pledged, that had pledged to the Kickstarter, have turned around and redirected their pledge directly
right. yeah.
to
Great.
Our website. So,
Good.
You know, I'd
Good.
Say we're somewhere over 50%. Of that, and so we've definitely got a little something to go on, and
well,
that's
we've
got to
build on that, and we will. And I am exploring some other things that I'll talk to you about at a later date, Stacey. So we'll see if we can't put something together here yet. And I'm committed to this too now because it's a wonderful project that deserves
Aww.
All the support it can get, and I truly believe that, and I will work very tirelessly in that regard. So.
Well, thanks. This is a big change for us. Because I'll tell you, the first couple of years, Gerard and I felt like we were really, no one quite understood what we were doing, and even our own families were like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" What?
All they had to do was look.
Keep
that's
the
not
faith.
Unusual. It's you
keep
know,
the faith.
When you get
yeah.
that, you got to get that
Thank
big,
you.
Huge, heavy locomotive going. Just getting it to go a foot is a Herculean
task. That's right.
Task. But once it starts
that's
going,
right.
it picks up steam, and that's what we're aiming
mm.
towards. So,
yeah,
so at
a
any
great
rate,
metaphor.
Yeah, it's very, very true. And, you know, good things, look at even the civil rights movement, how it blossomed over the years from one or two little acts
mm-hmm.
of disobedience, civil disobedience.
Right.
Who would have ever imagined that it would be, yield an African American president someday? I never believed it would happen in my lifetime, but it happened, and it things
did.
Can happen. And I think
That's
Gerard,
right.
you had a great quote. You had something like, "What was it? If we shoot for the stars, we should at least be able to clear the dumpsters."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was kind of making this
oh,
bit
I
of
love
a joke.
That.
Sometimes, you know, you get a little bit depressed and wonder, you know, where the money's going to come from. Are we
right.
going to find ourselves on the street, you know, and it's like, yeah, at least, you know, if we put enough energy towards something, you know, we may not reach the maximum of what we could, but at least, you know, we'll be able to, you know, to touch some people, touch some folks and
right.
eke out a living for us or something, but... It is tough, you know, and you have to have humor. And I think the key thing also is to believe in what you're doing and to do
yes.
it fearlessly.
Exactly,
you know,
and I salute you both for doing that. And it's you have touched many people, and you're going to touch more and more and more as you go because success does build on success. So you've just taken one little bite out of that big apple. You got many more bites to go.
You know everything. Everything can change with one email or one phone call. So
yes.
I keep that
Very true.
In mind. And it,
That's
it's
true.
It's happened for me
yeah.
before. So, in fact, I had a real busy week. I think it's in the air. So, yeah, it is. It really
Good.
Is in the air. So, you remember, you know, one
Let
phone call, one email, it can make a difference.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yep.
It's
oh, yeah,
true.
Absolutely.
We know that.
so what is your
that.
Motto nowadays, Gwen and Gerard? What would you say your motto is?
Stacy.
Oh boy. Do you have a motto these days, Gerard? Besides the dumpster
I guess...
one?
Well, I probably always have one in a sense, you know. I think the one thing that sort of I don't know if it's really a motto per se, but we had this discussion recently with Stacey, and it's like something like, you know, do what you know you have to do without any fear. Logistics will follow. I'm not sure your motto, but it's like, you know, don't let fear stop you. Just do it.
Right.
Just do your thing and mm-hmm. don't worry about anything else.
Beautiful. Mm. Beautiful.
You
know?
Yeah,
but
Gerard
all,
and I have this great dynamic where, like, if I'm having a hard day, if I'm down, he tends to be up, and vice versa.
Good.
If he's struggling a bit and feeling a little depressed, then I'm usually not in that space at the same time. If he's mm-hmm. down, I'm up, and we really balance each other out that way. And he is such, I just have to hand it to Gerard right now, because he is like having three people doing work instead
mm-hmm.
of just one guy. He's
right.
amazing. And when I really need a little injection of inspiration, mm-hmm. he is always right there with some great metaphor or, you know, fearless. He has a little soapbox in the garage that he gets on, and he. Now I'm joking.
Oh,
he doesn't have
a
soapbox,
but
he stands out there and he tells me that what we're doing is important and we should live our lives with no fear. And he's right. He's right.
Well, you compliment each other very nicely. That's wonderful, and it's your idealism and your enthusiasm. And your sense of reality is very true, is very good too. You guys aren't foolhardy, and you're not starry-eyed idealists. I mean, you know what's going on in the world. You know what it takes to get there, wherever there is, wherever there will be. So you're steadily working forward. You're steadily pushing forward, and I encourage you to keep doing so. And I will help you any way I can.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
you're very
thank
welcome.
You.
We need friends and allies. You know.
Sure. Yeah, we do. We need friends and allies, for sure.
Well, we all
as
do. That's very, very true. Yeah, very true. Very good.
You all can count on us over here at the Sunday show. And I hope you'll come back and visit with us again.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
You're
you guys
welcome.
Are fantastic. I love what you're doing.
Well, yeah, we'll talk
you.
To you again down the line and chart your progress, because I know that
okay.
will happen, because there will be progress.
Yeah, so. Maybe we can talk when the show is on.
Yeah, let's do that. That
there
sounds
go.
Good.
We'll celebrate.
There you go. Sounds great. Sounds good. All right. Look forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
In the meantime, it's www.respectfulrevolution.org, and it's got a number of vignettes you can see on it. You just need to go the little topics, just click on each one. They're all wonderful. They're all very revealing. And they're all very, very interesting. So check it out,
and
everybody.
And all 100% real.
Yes,
real
right.
reality.
Yeah, real reality. It's not contrived. Well, it's been a delight having you on the show today. I want to thank you very, very much for being a part of our show. And we'll look forward to charting your progress down the road here. And I'll be in touch with you from time to time, too. And we'll see what we can put together here. It's so exciting to see this beautiful new endeavor and watch it just begin to grow. So,
well,
very
thank
good.
You so much.
You're very welcome. We're delighted
thanks,
to have
Gwen
you today.
Thanks, Gwen and Wayne.
Yep.
Well, the pleasure was ours. Trust me, it really was.
We are very
well,
grateful.
Well, I have one quick question before we sign off. Gerard, where
sure.
what part of France are you from?
I'm sorry?
What part of France are you from?
Oh, I grew up mostly in Paris, which as a kid I thought was a catastrophe, because how, you know, why should I live in such a boring place as Paris? And things have changed a little bit now.
Well, the reason why I ask, I have friends in the Normandy area, and I, my too, have spent time in Marseille, Nice, and Provence. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Ah, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, I know
no
places.
Kidding.
I spent time in Normandy
a
quite a lot.
Carlo, too.
Yes,
so.
Gerard has family there as well in Provence.
Yes,
very
yeah.
good. I was going to say it's beautiful down there, and I've got to get my wife
yeah.
over to the European continent to show that to her. So.
Oh
yeah.
yes, absolutely.
That was just a little bit of a side note for us.
I want to thank you all for being with me today, Wayne, Jack, as always, and Stacy, and Gerard. I look forward to you coming back. We're at the end of the show, folks, and I want to thank all our listeners for dropping by and listening to us and everyone in podcasts. I want to remind everybody, too, that the Sunday show is sponsored by Roundtree7, that's the number 7.com. You go over there, you'll find a lot of good stuff posted. Find us in the Journey with Roundtree7 on Facebook. Join the conversation. And thank you, guys. It's the Respectful
Revolution.
The Respectful Revolution.org. Please go on over and check them out. You will be glad you did. That's the end of the show, folks.
Beautiful. Thank you, Gwen, and thank you, listeners, for listening today. And please do visit Respectful Revolution and contribute as much as you can, as much as you see fit. I think you'll be inspired to do so. So keep up the good work, both of you, and we'll look forward to talking with you again.
All right.
Very good. And
thank
goodbye.
You all.
Keep pushing forward with respect.
We will. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.